Hey, this is Bill Storm, and welcome to my podcast. This podcast was created to provide a trail of breadcrumbs for my children, Samantha and Billy, as well as anyone else that wants some straight talk mixed with a healthy dose of humor and sarcasm to navigate through this crazy journey we call life. In 1998, I quit my job in pursuit of more money, more meaning, and more freedom. It was one of the best decisions I ever made, and these are the lessons I learned along the way. If you like the podcast, you'll love my premium coaching content. Visit BillStorm.com/podcast to learn more. Hello and welcome to the premiere of Bill Storm Speaks. I am super excited to have my son Billy here with me today as part of this first episode. And this podcast was originally created, at least the thought behind it was to leave a trail of breadcrumbs for my kids, right? I've got a daughter, Samantha, who's 25 years old, getting married this year. And then, of course, Billy is 21 going on 22. And I always thought to myself, man, I'd really like to have something that they could reference, that they could go back on. So if they ever said, hey, I wonder what would Papa think about this, or, you know, how would he feel about that? This would be exactly that. So, Billy, thanks for joining me for this first episode. I'm super excited to have this conversation over a cup of coffee.
Of course, me too.
So let's talk about this, right? Right now, you've been out of high school for a few years, mm-hmm. and you expressed to me the other day that, you know, you're frustrated with some things. You're excited, but you're also frustrated, and it kind of made me laugh, right? Because it brought me back in time to when I was your age. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what's going on right now that's got your mind thinking?
The biggest one on the ladder, I'd say, is frustration is because it's a feeling of like, okay, there's all these different possibilities to do. And, you know, I know if I focus hard enough, I can accomplish them, but it's just, where do I take the first step towards doing that? It's like having a big ocean of water and not knowing where to dive in, you know, because it all looks the same.
Yeah, so you have the family curse. You have monkey mind, right? Yeah. You've got so many ideas. You're so creative.
Yeah, you can't just lock into one and go for it because you think that, oh, well, this one's better, or oh, I might just be better at this, or oh, my skill set, you know, matches to this better or whatever. But yeah. You know, that's really the main thing is searching through all the hay to, you know, try and find the needle in something that you genuinely want to do that makes you lose time, but I'd say frustration is the biggest thing for somebody my age that other people can relate to.
One of the things that cracks me up, though, it's funny, you know, when you and Sam were kids, I always used to wonder, are you hearing me right? Because obviously you've grown up very, very differently than I did, right? Mm-hmm. One of my goals when mom and I had you guys was to make sure that I empowered you, right? That I gave you things that were going to, you know, the kind of beliefs, patterns, and habits that were going to allow you to do whatever you wanted mm-hmm. in life. So what's funny about that, though, is that is sometimes you express things where I think you think that you should be where I was when I was 40 years old, or where I was when I was 50 years old, but you're still 21. Right?
No, the one that, and, you know, going back to like social media and the problem with that is, you know, there are successful kids my age, you know, and, you know, they hop onto good trends and they catch good things and make, you know, a bit of money. And it makes you feel like you're kind of lagging behind, but then you realize that they've been doing it for 2-3 years and, you know, they didn't have any friends in high school because that's all they did for, you know, hours and hours. But, you know, that's kind of in the state I'm in, is just trying to find something to do and just do it for hours and hours and like what I'm doing, I guess.
Yeah. But then sometimes, you know, sometimes like when you get so frustrated, right, you get so frustrated, you almost get like, if you felt like this, you get angry.
Very. Yeah. A little more than I'd like to think so, or get mad over something that's fully in my control. But, you know, yeah, I that might just be the boy in me, but.
Well, what I always see with you is this. I always think you have very high expectations. The bar is high. Right.
You didn't
set the bar low. You set the bar very high for yourself. And sometimes I feel like because you're my son, right, you set the bar so high that you almost are like disappointed with mm-hmm. yourself.
Well, it was funny. I heard a saying that kind of stuck with me, and it was like, if you shoot for the moon, you'll, or if you shoot for the stars, you'll hit the moon. If you shoot for the moon, you'll hit the sky. If you hit the sky, you won't get off the ground or something like that. So you have to, like, you know, definitely, you know, in your brain, shoot for the stars, but then at the same time, understand where you are currently, I feel. And that's one thing you've helped me a lot with, you know, not feeling bad about myself or getting down on myself for thinking I'm a failure. Cause it's like, you know, people don't show the months and years of hardship. They just kind of show the picture perfect Instagram moments. And that's something that I didn't see with you. I've just always seen you work your, you know, your tail off. So it was like, I kind of had a mixture of both worlds. Like, you know, why, you know, I could say that, you know, it feels like you've been lied to your entire life when, when you're growing up, because it's like, you're seeing these two different things. You're like, well, why are these people saying it's easy? And then why am I seeing this person bust their tail all day? You know what I mean?
Well, the truth is, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have social media. So nowadays with social media, everybody puts up a fake front, right? And they paint a picture as though they're ultra successful. And the majority, I know a lot of people that I watch, you know, and they're doing a video or they're teaching something, and I know that they're not successful. They're not truly successful. That's just the front that they're putting up. So that's the hard part for kids today, is you look at this fake image. I mean, people do everything fake. They fake teach. They make fake images of themselves, fake video backgrounds of themselves. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff that would lead you to think that they're successful. And when you're really young, you kind of buy into that first because you don't know any better. But then as you get older, you get a little bit wiser and you start to realize that a lot of it is a lot of BS.
I've definitely, since I've been surrounded by the things I'm going into as far as business goes, I'm like, I feel like I got this from you. I definitely have a BS radar to where it's like, I can smell it in your voice, you know?
Yeah. So the thing is, like, for me, it's pretty simple. You've probably heard the expression, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? So to become successful, it's about failing, but you fail forward. So every time that we learn something or we try something, if it doesn't work, we just change our approach, but we're failing forward. It's not, oh, this didn't work, so now the world's coming to an end. It's like, no, that's great. I'm glad that I tried that because now I have the experience.
You just learn something from it instead of looking at it as like, oh, I just completely failed, you know, might not even try again.
Yeah.
Type deal. You just take the information. It's like take the meat, leave the bones almost from each situation.
Yeah. I mean, that's really where wisdom comes in, right? Because you can pick up any book and you can learn a lot of different things, but it's only experience and time that matters, that turns you into a successful person, right? Because once you become a successful person, like you become a successful thinker, you can do multiple things and you'll be successful at them all. It's just because that's who you are, right? As a person, which is kind of cool. But anyway, I wanted to share this with you because, you know, sometimes you're hard on yourself, but if you went back and you stepped into my shoes back then, you'd realize how much further ahead you are than I was at that time already. And that was my job, right? As your dad, I wanted to make sure that I set you up for success, that, to be able to take what I know now and be able to take it to the next level. So I'll just give you a little bit more backstory, a little bit deeper. So you know that I was when I was in high school and then out of high school, I was a martial arts instructor, right? And then I stepped into the role of what we call the program director. So I was in charge of like membership sales, and I was really good at that. But over time, I started to see that just working for someone else, it wasn't going to do what I wanted to do, right? Because my definition of success is I want to be able to do what I want, when I want, wherever I want, with whomever I want. And I just, you know, I just wasn't able to do that at the time. There just wasn't an opportunity to continue moving forward and create the kind of income that I would need in order to, you know, achieve, you know, the kind of the life goals that I had. So at that time, one of the students that I was really close to, his dad was a principal of a stock brokerage firm. Okay. So he got in my ear and he recruited me, right? So I'm young, right? I'm only like 21 years old or so. And he recruits me to say, hey, why don't you come work with me? You can actually build a real career around this thing. I didn't have any idea. I didn't have any idea what the job entailed, but I liked him. I trusted him. So I said, oh, why not? You know, I'll do this. So I got into that and it was okay, but it wasn't something I was super passionate about. I just didn't really like it. But what I did find out is that I was just really good at sales. That just came kind of naturally. So I was a program director, membership sales for the martial arts school. Then I was, you know, a stockbroker that, you know, was heavily sales, but it just didn't quite do it for me. So from there, this is part of the timeline you probably don't know. But at this point, time is kind of moving on, and I'm still working at the stock brokerage place, right?
How long were you there for?
Oh, I think I was there a couple of years.
You see what I mean? Like timelines, like people my age, when I hear stuff like this, they're like, oh, you know, he was only there for a few months and he just went on with his merry way. It's like people don't understand like the long times that are spent in between stuff like that before you've reached your entrepreneurial journey, you know?
Well, so here's the thing, though. It's that the thing you have to do is you got to celebrate the little wins along the way, what you learned and what you were able to do with the situation that you were in. So, for example, one of the first things that I had to do, David was his name, that my boss, the principal of the firm. And after I got my Series 7 license, which is the license you need to be a stockbroker, his first assignment, he basically gave me a phone book, right? And he said, I want you to just call all the attorneys in town. And he goes, I want you to tell them that we've got a block of Key Bank, right? That was a local bank. Key Bank preferred stock at 11% fixed yield. So basically it was a block of stock where it paid a fixed return of 11%, which is unheard of. I mean, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. So he said, anybody that you tell this to, they'll want it, right? Because it's such a good return. So I'm thinking to myself, the first limiting belief I had in my head was, you know, I'm 21, 22 years old. Who's going to listen to me? I don't even know what I'm talking about, right? At this point. But he says, just do it, right? And that's part of the problem most people have, is they just don't do it. They look at the phone, right? And it looks like a cement block. It's too heavy. They won't pick it up and they're scared to death and fear stops them, right? But I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this, right? I'm just going to do this. I'll close my eyes and do this. So of course I started making the phone calls. And I got stopped every single time by the gatekeeper, right? The secretary would never let me through. So I went back and I told him what the problem was. And he said, well, come in early, right? Come in early. Because if you call people early, right, the secretary won't be there yet. And most of the time the attorneys will be there and they'll pick up the phone. So that's what I did, right? So I started calling. And finally, I had one attorney actually pick up the phone, and I was scared to death because I didn't expect him to pick up the phone. So I just kind of closed my eyes and I, you know, went through the script, and he, there was kind of a silence for a minute. And he goes, now, wait a minute. He goes, you're saying that this has a fixed return of 11%. I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you located? So I told him where we were. He said, I'll be down at lunchtime. I didn't know if he was going to really show up or not. He literally showed up at lunchtime. He bought $40,000 worth of this. I had never met him before in my life.
Yeah.
Right. And he came in. Now, back then, right, when I was your age, $40,000 might as well have been $4 million.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Right. So that was a huge lesson to me, right? To not second guess what somebody will or will not buy, because I don't know what their wants are. I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what they're looking for. But because I did it, that's, you know, obviously that's not the preferred way to get new business. But the point was, is that it crushed one of the limiting beliefs that I had right then, mm-hmm. as far as what was possible. So here's where the win came in. And I don't know if you know this, but here's where the win came in. I did well enough to where at 23, so just another year and a half or so from where you are now, I was able to buy my first condo, right? My first townhouse. And I think I drove you by that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. So that was like a year and a half from now. So before that, I wasn't really making anything. I had no idea what was going on, but I went ahead and I did this thing and I achieved something that most 23-year-olds, you know, hadn't achieved before. And I literally bought this thing. And I remember stressing about the payment on it, right? The payment was $356. That was the principal and interest, with the taxes and the insurance was like around $500 or so. And that was like, oh my goodness, am I going to be able to afford this or not? But the point is that I had that goal and I did it, right? I did it. So now, as time is going by, right, I'm still really frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm getting angry. Just kind of, you know, some of the things that I've seen you talk about, because I'm like, okay, this isn't the career for me. This is not really where I'm going to go. So I finally decide I'm going to leave this, right? I'm going to leave this career. And I went on And I said, okay, well, I'm good in sales. So a buddy of mine was working for an insurance company. And he said, wow, he goes, you know, I really love this. It's really fun. We just travel around, and it was selling like health insurance type of stuff. Right. So I wasn't quite sure, but he was showing me his paychecks, right? He was showing me how much he was actually making. I was like, wow, that's like twice as much as what I'm making now. You know, okay, I'm going to do this. So that's what I did. And I actually did really, really well with it. I did so well that the company was out of Chicago, actually. They hired me to be a sales trainer. So I was traveling all over the place, training other people how to do what I was doing there. But that also got very old because it was all this travel involved. Now, at this point, this is when I had met your mother, right? So,
was you know, like 20, 20,
yeah. 24, yeah. You know, 20, 12. 20, now it was just pretty much after I bought the townhouse. So probably 23, 24 years old, right? I met mom, and now I'm traveling all over the place. And of course I hated that because I was apart from her, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where love comes in. And sometimes that, that changes things. That changes how you feel about things. So traveling when I was single, okay, no problem. Lots of fun. Now that I have somebody that I care about, not so fun. Don't really want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I ended up, at this point, we end up getting married, right? So we get married in 95, and I decide, well, you know what? I need to do something different. I need to settle down a little bit because now I have some responsibilities. So I found another job working for an insurance company, but this was selling like automobile, homeowners, life insurance, and also, investments, right? And it was more stable. It was, regular hours, all of that kind of stuff. But it was boring, right? It was so bad. It was really, really, really boring. So at this point, now mom and I got pretty interested in real estate because we started thinking about our future. And we're like, what are we going to be able to do to be able to create a future for ourselves and for our future family? And, her dad, had some property that he owned. He owned like seven properties or something at that time. So it kind of, you know, piqued our interest. We said, well, maybe we should start trying to buy some of these things. But the problem is we didn't have any money, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we were just starting out. We had zero money. So we're trying to figure out what to do about the whole thing. So one night we were sitting there and we were watching television. And there was an infomercial for a course by Carlton Sheets. It was called No Real Estate, No Money Down, right? And it was something like three payments and $97, right? And I'm like, I don't have three payments and $97, right? So here was a huge lesson, right? I hesitated and I doubted again, right? I had that hesitation. I kind of had that doubt. So mom said, well, you're smart. You should just get it, right? You're smart. You'll figure it out, right? You'll figure it out. And because if we don't do it, nothing's going to happen. So that was a huge lesson because I didn't have the belief, but I had to borrow.
Yes. From somebody else to give you that it's like to start your flame. You take a little bit from their candle to light yours.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, look at what you've done. Already in your lifetime, so even not just high school, but since you got out of high school, right? What have you done with?
Well, funny, I didn't need a job for like, you know, a year and a half, maybe 2 years because of social media and what I was building on there. You know, the only thing about something like that is that, you know, it just relies on your personal brand. And
well, so stop just for a second, because I want everybody to understand this. So you're like 18.
Yeah.
Right. You just get out of high school. Most kids are going to do college or get a job, right? At a place that's what they're conditioned to do. Go get a job. But you decided to start a business online yourself. Yeah. Right. And you got to the point where you were making how much money every single month?
I think it was like 2,600 to 3,000.
Right. So you're making,
and I wasn't leaving my room.
Right.
But I was sitting there taking an hour or two out of my day. And that was just off of the subscription. That wasn't donation. So I was probably making more than that every single month.
Right.
I was making probably like five, something like that.
Right. So listen, so you're 18, you're making $2,600 a month.
Yeah.
Right. That's more than I was making at the time when I got married.
Yeah.
right? So you were light years ahead of where I was because you had taken these skills, right, that you had learned up to this point.
Even like funnel hacking live, like that completely changed the way I look at certain things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even from all like the funnels I built throughout the years, or, you know, doing SEO and marketing in general, it's just like, I've been doing it for, you know, a few years now, and I've been to actual conventions and conferences and spoken to people and actually.
So would you say that that's part of the reason why you were able to do what you did, is because you put in the work ahead of time to learn?
Well, yeah, because the reason I was making that money was because of a subscription plan where I would add you to a Snapchat account where I would just talk to you and be more personal with you. And I sent them through a funnel, and it was just a simple landing page with two options, and you got to choose whichever option you want. And each one of them had a value stack.
Yep.
So it was like, you know, that's ClickFunnels all day. So it was just, you know, I think about like all those moments, and I'm like, okay, well, I wouldn't have had the same mindset if it wasn't for learning this stuff. And number two, like talking to you and getting involved with it in the first place. So here's
the thing. And this is the thing that I talk about all the time when I go speak, right? I mean, I talk to audiences all over the world because I'm a trainer and a speaker for Tony Robbins, right? So when I go talk to people all over the world, I tell them stories like this. And I talk about you. And of course, I talk about, my start. But the thing is what people have to understand is that it's the conditioning that you've done. Like every single day you're hungry, right?
And it's like an operating system in your brain. It's
right.
Just running on a different circle, I guess. It's just like when you open your brain up to it and you kind of decide that that's what you want, you're like, okay, well, I'm really unhappy in this certain situation. And
right. All
I have to do is almost like dating. It's like, why are you going to go try and date somebody when you're not happy yourself? So it's like, if you don't have the skills in order to be that person, there's no reason to start building the tower because you don't know what you're building. You're just,
right. You
know, you have to develop yourself, I feel like. And that's kind of the stage I'm in. But at the same time, I'm transitioning out of it into the actual action portion of it. So it's like, I have all this information in my brain and I've, you know, executed on quite a bit of it. And now it's just making it fit all together and understand why my brain, you know, does the things it does. And
that's a good analogy that you actually just said, right? I mean, can you imagine like trying to build your own house without having any skills?
It's like,
right?
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of that stuff about like goals and things like that. And, you know, you're not going to be successful without a goal, but you're not going to complete the goal without consistency.
Yeah.
So it's literally like every day I'm just trying to listen to something that's going to keep making my brain run on the same program that I currently have, because
right. It's
something that I know is going to eventually take me to where I need to be, because it's all I think about and it's all I'm doing and it's just who I am, you know?
So what's interesting is all of these things inside my coaching group, right? Literally inside my coaching group, when I teach every single week, right? I do the live training sessions every single week.
I hear them. Don't worry.
but that's the thing, you know, when you were younger, I wasn't sure if you were hearing it, but now that
you got older,
yeah. All of a sudden you've come out, you know, like, wow, okay, that didn't fall on deaf ears. You really learned it.
Yeah. There's some times that we're talking and I'll say something and it'll surprise you that I remember it. And I'm like,
yeah. You
and mom don't realize how much things I remember from you and her that, like, for some reason, like I've said this before, I'm like, you know, I'd assume that you guys already knew that, you know what I mean? Just
because
it's like, you don't know that person's not thinking of that, but it's
right. Like,
to me, that's like, oh, you know, that's normal. Of course, like there are certain sayings that you use or like, even while, you know, if I'm, you know, working and I'm dealing with like a customer or something like that. It's just like certain things I say are like,
exact,
you know, or just certain little lines or sayings. And it's just because it's like, I've been around it for years and years, or even if I was just like in my room and you're doing a live call or something, like I'm listening to that, I can hear it.
Yeah.
So it kind of just like certain things are just engraved in my brain of like certain little things to say back to people that are, you know, just something that you would say, I guess.
What's super cool about that is that literally has been my inspiration for my coaching group. Because I think about it and I said, you know, we talk about this all the time. Proximity is power. who you hang around on a regular mm-hmm. basis, that's where you get the conditioning from. So when I talk to a coaching client or somebody joins the group, I say, listen, if you'll just show up every single week and you keep hearing this stuff over and over and over again, and you do the exercises and you hang around the right people.
You'll believe it.
Because that's what happened with you.
It's like hypnosis. This is from me, you know, from me to the people listening. It's like, I'm a very skeptical person and I second guess almost everything. Mm-hmm. And that's something everybody does, I've realized. And everybody has that like self-doubt. It's just the fact that you need to be courageous enough to move forward even when you're scared. Because it's like, yes. That's kind of what I've realized is the key to success isn't like anything besides just seeing something that scares you, but not being afraid to walk towards it and completely throw it out of the ballpark, you know, and just like take it on knowing that you're scared, but you're doing it anyways, because that's where bravery comes from. Can't be brave if you're not scared, you know? So it's like, that's kind of how I look at it. Because even with you talking like about how you were nervous to death to call the first person, but now you can, you know, answer the phone and spit it out like, you know, over and over and over again. It's like, you know, that's something that used to scare me a little bit, was just being on the phone with people. But now it's like, I talk to people every single day and I can spit out like machine gun, you know? So.
And that's rare, because kids nowadays, a lot of kids can't communicate. They hide behind their phone, their text, their snaps or whatever, and they can't actually have a conversation.
You know, I feel like you have to be conscious about that as well, because like, you know, I look for those things. You know, there's people I definitely see that can't look people in the eye. You can't, you know, that's something I used to struggle with when I was a kid. You always used to say, look at the person, you know, and I never understood why, but now it's like, that's confidence. That's power in yourself. Yeah. And that's the ability to speak to people. And you tend to understand people better if you're looking at them when they're, you know, speaking to you, if you didn't, you know, cause it's like you're talking to a 7-year-old and they're just picking their nose and looking at the, you know, out the window while you're, you know, trying to ask them what cookie flavor they like.
So let's talk about this. This is where I wanted to get to today. One of the things that you said to me the other day is, you said, you know, you were frustrated and you're like, what do I need to do to get to where you are? Like, how did you do that? Right. And we talked about this and I said, I didn't have a choice, right? I was in a situation where I had to, mm-hmm. right? I had to do something. And one of the things that I teach all the time is, I said, when your why is big enough, you can move mountains, right? If you don't have any leverage, if you don't have any pressure, most people just won't move. They just won't do the thing because they're too comfortable there. So the honest answer was like, if you want to be able to do the way I did it, is you have to throw yourself, like Tony says, in order to take the island, you got to burn the boats. I always like to say this, right? If you and I are going to war and we have to cross the bridge, well, we're not going to stick one toe over there. We're going to cut the rope. So we're either going to come back, we're going to win, or we're going to go down in a flame, you know, blaze of glory. I mean, one of the two things is going to happen. And of course, I would choose to win that battle, right? So when you've got some pressure and you have enough leverage, all of a sudden you get this strength, you get this courage, and you get the motivation to do the thing that you need to do. So where did that come? Well, what happened was, so after, you know, mom and I got married, I was working in sales for this insurance shop, and I hated it. Oh, it was so boring to me. I couldn't stand it. I had a micromanager, like this middle manager, who just drove me crazy because he just wanted to, you know, have his finger on everything that you do. And I said this to you before, my number one moving towards value is freedom. So he was in, you know,
trying to chain you down.
Yeah. He was trying to put a chain on me. And I'm like, you know,
let the dog go loose.
Let the dog free. You can't. And the thing was I was always a great producer, right? I mean, I could hit quota in half a month. And that used to drive him crazy, because the other part of the time I wanted to go, I was learning real estate, right? So at this point, what ended up happening is mom and I actually bought our first home, and we basically followed that course that we bought, and we bought the home with no money down. It was a house that needed to be fixed up, and it was in the same neighborhood as mom's grandparents and her aunts, right? They're Italian. They all live on the same street, right? So we ended up buying this house, and so we kept the townhouse that I had already purchased, and that became our first rental. So now all of a sudden we started to, you know, the things that we had learned about real estate started to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So once we did it once, I was like, well, Wow, there's
do it again.
I can do it again. Again, yeah. I had a new belief. I'm like, okay, this works.
I feel like that's the majority of people. They need to do it one time and then they'll be like, oh, this ain't nothing. It's like the same thing with like if you were to compete in anything.
Right.
It's like you feel those nerves, and then once you've done it, you're like, why was I so jumpy about it? Because I feel like majority of everything, you know, you can apply this to almost anything, is that your brain will like, right, like you could be full sprinting towards the edge of a cliff, ready to jump off, just to, platform dive or whatever.
Yeah.
But your brain will stop you before that last second, just for that second. And I like, my biggest thing is trying to figure out how to, almost like the 5 second rule, just blow right past it. When you think about that limiting belief, is just as soon as it comes in, that's when you do the thing.
And that's conditioned in us. It's the part of the brain called the amygdala, right? That's the fight or flight thing. And that will literally stop people in their tracks. It's like you get fear of success, you get fear of failure, you get fear of the unknown, you get fear of, you get fear of all kinds of things. And it'll literally give you, paralysis of analysis. You'll think about the thing, and you won't do it.
Yeah.
But so here's where the pressure came in. And this was to answer your question, right? Because you're like, how do I put myself under pressure to do what you needed to do? Well, first you got to understand what the pressure was. So when I was single, and even when it was just mom and me, right? If I fell on my face or things didn't go quite well,
yeah, I'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, get up. I'll be all right. But what ended up happening is then she got pregnant with Sam, right? So all of a sudden I realized that I had a baby coming.
You're like, oh.
But here's the thing. And this is where this is where pain comes in, right? Because most people will do more to avoid pain than they will to gain pleasure. Well, when I was a kid, one of the things that I didn't have a lot of is I didn't have grandma and grandpa. Neither one of them were really able to be involved in a lot of the activities that I did, because obviously they got divorced. But then we moved. I moved quite a bit, right? I was never in the same school, for very long before we moved again. And so one of the things that was really, really important to me, okay, one of the things that was really, really important to me was that when I had kids, I wanted to be able to provide a really stable home life. And I never wanted to miss out on anything. I didn't want to miss out on any of your games. I didn't want to miss out on any of your school activities, concerts, anything. Like, that was so important to me. I had this major leverage, right? That's what I wanted to be able to provide. Well, the thing was, is the job what I was in wasn't going to be able to provide me that opportunity, because it was literally an environment where the manager wanted to control your time, and it just wasn't a good situation for me.
In the wrong boat.
I was I'm paddling in the wrong boat. So what ended up happening is once mom was pregnant with Sam, all of a sudden that pain built up enough to where I'm like, I have to do something about this. I can't do something. And I was like, on the outside, I was smiling, but on the inside, I was angry and I was frustrated. And I just, I was about to blow my stack, and I finally did. So here's the crazy part about what happened. And I know, kind of this story about what happened, but literally what happened was, it was about February. It was February of 98. So mom is now 9 months pregnant with Sam, right? 9 months pregnant with Sam. So she has to stop working, right? So now I am the sole income earner, and I'm at work, and this manager, Mark, would drive me absolutely up the wall. And he drove me to the point one day where I just completely lost it. I mean, I completely lost it. So he had me come into the office and he's talking to me about, my activities, and, didn't matter that I was, outperforming everybody. He didn't like the fact that I wasn't there, that I was out doing other things with real estate and stuff like that. And he told me he was basically going to write me up for like insubordination. Well, as soon as you come at me that way, that was the end of that. So I looked at him and I got red hot, because I was pretty hot back then. I got red hot. I could feel, the blood come right to the top of my neck. I mean, I was hot. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Mark, you can go F yourself, right? And now I don't recommend that, but that's how I was, right? I got hot. And he looked at me like he was completely shocked that I said that, because I was intense when I said it to him. So he didn't know what to do. So he ended up leaving the office, like, and he literally went down, he ran down to the end of the hall because our regional manager just happened to be there.
He's got to go get his boss.
He had to go tattle on me, right? So he went and told, he comes back and he says,
your worker's not listening to me.
No, he said, Rob wants to talk to you. Rob was the regional manager. So I said, okay, fine. So I go down the hallway and I go into Rob's office and he said, Bill, he said, Mark just told me something that I couldn't believe. And he goes, that you said something to him that I couldn't believe. And he said, can you just clarify for me what it was? I said, sure. Rob, I said, I told him he could go F himself. Right? So it was funny because he actually kind of smirked at me, like almost like a half of a laugh, right? That I actually said this to him. But he obviously said, he goes, well, Bill, he goes, we can't, that can't happen here. And I'm like, Rob, I said, I'll save you the trouble. I'm done. Right. I'm done with this. Right. So doing that, right, I had this like ultimate surge of like
power
and energy and adrenaline. Right. And I go walk and I go back to my desk and I get my stuff. And, I see the other guys that are there that are friends of mine. I go, I'm done. I'm out. Right. So I get my stuff and I leave. So I'm walking out and I'm like super excited that I'm leaving. But then I get down to the car and I go, what did I just do?
They're like, oh,
yeah,
I got to figure this out now.
Yeah. What did I just do? Right. This is crazy. I mean, I'm going to have a baby here. But the point is I had enough pain behind what I did, and it wasn't the pain of the job, but it was the pain of the fact that I wasn't going to be able to show up as the kind of dad that I wanted to be.
Yeah, you weren't living the life you had in your mind.
Right. My life conditions didn't match what my dream was, mm-hmm. right? So that's when I pulled the trigger. So here's the thing, and you know this, right? It was the best decision I ever made, because if I didn't do that crazy thing, if I didn't do the thing, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have been able to provide the kind of life for you guys that I had. And here's the thing. What most people do is they get stuck by fear, but the life that you want is on the other side of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what I did. So as soon as I got out of there, right, all of a sudden I had this major pressure and I got home and I told mom, and I was, most people would say, what, are you crazy?
You're like, all right.
Exactly. Mom wasn't like that. She's like, good. I'm glad you did that. Right. You're smart. You'll figure it out. Again, now I'm borrowing on her beliefs.
You're starting to believe
in me.
Yeah.
Her belief in me was strong.
I feel like even this, like, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, if you tell yourself something on a long enough time span, you'll almost drive yourself crazy and to the point where you believe it, because now there's things that I used to believe that I don't believe anymore, that I'm like, wait, how could I think any other different,
right.
Way, but it's literally just because I've been told enough times, this is what's up.
Right.
And then you kind of start to be like, okay, like even my, in certain things, like saying I get to versus I have to, what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've even changed certain things, like, oh, I get to go training tonight, because some people are paralyzed because they got thrown on their face, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get the ability to do that still, and other people don't. And that's all they would wish for. It's the same thing. Like, if I was on my deathbed, I wouldn't care about anything else because I would just want, the one thing, and that's my health. Right. But
yeah, it is pretty crazy. But the thing is once you make the move, like once you do the thing that you're scared of, right, now it opens up a whole different world, because now you start becoming more resourceful, and you start to get, you start to lean more on what you've learned along the way. And it forces you to take what you've learned and then actually start to apply it. You don't just sit on it anymore. You start to apply it. So that's exactly what I did. So of course now I'm like, oh boy, I got to do something.
Yeah,
right?
It's on go mode.
Yeah, it's go, right? It's go. So here's the two things that I did. The first thing that I did is I pulled out my personal power course again that I had, gotten from Tony years ago, right? And I'm like, okay, I got to get myself in state. I need to change. I need to get myself in state so my physiology is right, my brain is right, and I'm seizing the day. Like every day, I'm like, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. Yes, I can do this. So I took out that course and I started listening to the stuff over and over again to get my mind in the right state. Then what I did is I started to learn more again. So I bought an additional course on real estate that I needed to do, and I'm learning and I'm learning and I'm learning. So I've got my state right, I'm learning, but the magic ingredient was that I just took massive action. I went out every day and I started looking at for property, and I started to make the right connections, and I met the right people. And literally by the end of the first year, I mean, I was literally making like three times as what I was making before, and I had the freedom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I did so well that by the end of that first year, all of a sudden I saw, wow, this is really amazing. Right. So, this is really possible.
So for you, it was really just like, it wasn't so much the fact that you don't think you could do it, it was the fact that it was just the fear of starting it because of the result of what you were going to get.
Right.
And I feel like that's with me. It's just like, I know I can do it. It's the fact that I'm scared I can. Like, it's because I know that over time, the responsibilities are going to start piling up, and then, you know, you develop these skills that make you more of a valued person, and then you can get paid more. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, it's like, sometimes too, I think with you is this, right? And I will kind of end with this. Sometimes what I think is you're trying to go from 0 to 100 in the one jump, where you have to look at the small incremental steps. So for example, right, when I was working at that insurance job, right, I was literally making like $2,500 a month, right? And I thought to myself, what if I just double that, right? If I could just get from $2,500 to $5,000 a month, how would life be? That would change everything, right? That would literally change everything, right? So you need to take a small incremental step and get the small win along the way, because once you get there, now you can see a little bit further. So that's kind of progress. So you went from 2,500 to 5,000. You're like, well, what if I had my 5,000? What if I doubled that? What if I went to 10,000? What would that be like? Oh my goodness, that would change the world. I mean, you know, I'd be set, you know, and that kind of thinking kept going. So instead of trying to jump from, you know, zero to hero, right, take those small wins along the way. And you should know this well and good, right? Because, you know, I've trained in martial arts my entire life. You're training in martial arts right now. And you know darn well that you don't go from white belt to black belt. You don't do black belt stuff overnight. It's because you keep showing up for class. That's why you're getting so good.
There, yeah. That's one thing I've definitely related to in every aspect of my life, is the fact that it doesn't matter how you start, what you look like, you know, where you are. If you go for a long enough time, just like Bobby, the 70-year-old, you know, is he a black belt now?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, he's, you know, I've known him since he was a blue belt,
yeah.
You know, and he's gotten so much better. So yeah. It's like, you know, that's kind of like an inspiration for me to look at.
That's right.
You know, even the pictures of you back in like 2009 on your Facebook,
yeah.
You know, when you trained with Gibson and you had the white belt on, and it's like things like that. It makes me remind that, you know, if you want to build a big snowball, it takes a long time to get it to be big. But as soon as it starts going down the hill.
Yeah. And enjoy the train. You know, that's what it is. It's like that. One of the sayings we say, you know, if you always have one eye on the goal, you'll only have one eye left to see the way. Right. So the thing is just enjoy showing up every single day, because it's that whole, the journey along the way that matters. It's who you're becoming. And I already know who you're going to become. I already know that. I already know that, you know, what you're going to achieve and what you're going to accomplish because of who you already are as a person and who you're going to become because of your commitment. So here's the thing. This is what I'd like everybody to do that's listening to this. If you'd like to be able to take your life to the next level, it's simply a matter of showing up. Just show up every single week and continue to learn. And that's what inspired me to create this coaching group, right? The coaching group, because I know that if people that are my clients just show up every single week and they get conditioned on a weekly basis, and they're hanging around us, what's going to happen is the end result is going to be, they're going to be just like you. It's almost like teaching you and Sam, but teaching other people on a mass scale, right? The more we hang around each other, we're all stronger, we're all smarter together. And the more we band together and the more we study and we learn this stuff together, the stronger we all get and the more capable we are of being able to achieve amazing things. So gang, if you'd like to learn more about this, I'd like to just direct you to my website. If you go to billstorm.com/podcast, you'll get a special invitation there where you can participate for 14 days, absolutely free. And you'll be able to participate in a couple of my live weekly coaching sessions. I hold them every Friday around noon Eastern time, by the way. If you can't make them live, they're always recorded. And then all of the coaching calls and all of the coaching content, my premium content, is in an area that I call the vault. In for those 14 days, you can get in there and you can completely raid the vault, go in there, right, and pillage and really enjoy everything that's in there. And then if you like it, you love it, you want more of it, then we can talk about having you, you know, making it official to become part of the best team in the country. So Billy, thanks for sharing this time with me today. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing more of these with you so people can kind of keep track of your progress as well.
Thank you. I'm excited as well.